Matt Brown from Sports on Earth joins us. Matt, how are you? Have you ever seen, has anybody ever submitted a perfect bracket?
Not that I know of, but, you know, I wouldn't claim to be the authority on that. I guess you'd have to ask ESPN or somebody with the bracket contest, but it's hard enough just to get the first round right or even come close to that, so I doubt it.
Yeah, let's, you know, we look at it. We got Arizona and Florida and Virginia and Wichita State as a number. Like, this is the first time Wichita State's ever been a number one. Have they ever even been a number two or a three?
Well, the funny thing about it is, you know, you got Wichita State as a one and Kentucky as an eight. You know, everybody would have maybe thought it would be reversed and they could play in the second rounds. And Wichita State made it to the Final Four as a nine seed last year. And, you know, now they're kind of in that opposite position where you can argue whether or not they deserve it. I think they go in undefeated. They do. But the committee made it tough for them because to get to the Final Four, they may have to beat Kentucky, Louisville, and Duke or Michigan. So it's a tough road.
Yeah, the Midwest is easily the toughest of the four brackets so far, and I'm guessing maybe the toughest ones to look at. Matt, when you look at, let's, I guess, start with the upsets. There's always got to be a few in the first weekend on Thursday and Friday. Last year we had three number 12s upsetting number five. That one, for whatever reason, always seems to produce the most upsets of the top four. Do you see that again this year, or do you have any high ranked teams, 13, 14, 15, or maybe you're going on the edge, 16 this year that will upset?
The 16 thing will probably happen sometime. I don't know if it'll be this year, but there's always some on the board. I think, well, the most obvious one is a 6-11 game where UMass is quite overseeded at number six, and they'll have to play either Tennessee or Iowa, winner of a play-in game in Dayton. And Tennessee is the type of team who played kind of worse. Their record's worse than what they really were this year. I think it's a better team with some really quality players, like Jordan McCray and Jarnell Stokes. And I think Tennessee will beat Iowa and beat UMass, as maybe that one doesn't look as much of an upset when you have an 11 like Tennessee of the name recognition against a team like UMass. I think some of those 5-12s are definitely intriguing. Everybody's going to be on Harvard. I think Harvard had a 13-4 upset last year, but beating New Mexico, and play Cincinnati this year. I think that one's one to watch. VCU and Stephen F. Austin also will be an interesting matchup because it's two teams that play very aggressive styles of defense, very, very good at forcing turnovers. And Stephen F. Austin is the type of offense that likes to try to slow it down. So it's going to be a clash of styles, and I think they are capable of knocking down VCU, who is a five seed this year.
Why would they have three of the play-in games all in the same bracket?
Well, it's all a matter of kind of geography and things like that. So okay. I don't, you know, it is kind of weird. You usually think it would be balanced, you know, one in each region. But between a number of teams in the Midwest region where you think they should go to the Final Four based on their strength, whether it's Wichita State, Louisville, Duke, Michigan, and then you got three play-in games. There's a lot of uncertainty still in that bracket and trying to predict it.
Yeah, and the other thing I don't understand, like, the play-in games used to be, it was just the 16th seed that was basically playing in. How can you not get into, now I know they have to have a certain amount of allocated representation from different markets and different regions. So is that the reason why you've got, like, Iowa and Tennessee who will play a play-in game, but when they come in, they'll be ranked 11th, and there's a lot of teams ranked lower than them in the tournament?
Well, the point of the play-in game, originally when they had one, it was just the one, two 16s playing against each other. Now they expanded this field to 68. So the idea of it is to have two of the games are between 16 seeds, you know, basically the four worst teams in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two are the last four teams that made it in as bubble teams.
Okay.
So, you know, the 16s are automatic qualifiers who are just from the worst conferences, the worst resumes. You have NC State, Xavier, Iowa, and Tennessee, who the committee would look at and say those were the four last teams in the tournament, the four biggest bubble teams. So, you know, they don't call it a play-in game, but it's essentially playing your way into the tournament.
Matt Brown joins us from Sports on Earth. Matt, I guess let's look at it. We'll start with the obvious one. Who are your final four?
My final four is, I only have one seed in the final four. I have Florida out of the South. I have Michigan State out of the East, Duke out of the Midwest, and Wisconsin out of the West. And I have Duke over Michigan State in the national title.
Wisconsin, what do you like about them?
Badgers, they've always slowed it down, been kind of a methodical team under Coach Bo Ryan, and they're very, very efficient on both ends of the ball. The advanced stats like them a lot. They're in a winnable bracket. I think Arizona, the number one seed in the West, is going to face a very, very tough challenge in the second round against Oklahoma State, who's probably a lot better than its seeding would say. And, you know, the number three seed in that region is Creighton, who's very, very fun to watch. Doug McDermott, National Player of the Year, but very lackluster defense from Creighton. And I think Wisconsin, just the balance they have, especially if Arizona falls victim to an upset to maybe Oklahoma State, I think Wisconsin's the most complete, balanced team in that bracket to get to the Final Four.
Matt, one game that potentially could happen in the round of 16 involves the Canadiens. Ennis versus Wiggins, Syracuse and Kansas. Now, Syracuse is, you know, has kind of limped in. They haven't been playing very well, where Kansas lost their big man, and Andrew Wiggins has just gone on fire. Which out of those two teams led by the Canadiens, Syracuse or Kansas, do you think goes farther and why?
I like Kansas. I think they're deeper. You know, obviously the loss of Joel Embiid is big, but there's a chance he could come back. We still don't really know what his timetable is, the seven-footer for Kansas. But, you know, Wiggins, I think, has kind of grown up a little bit, matured as a player with him out. And, you know, when all said and done, he might end up being the best player out of this college basketball class. And I think Kansas, between him, Perry Ellis, I think they've been playing better. Syracuse kind of got exposed a little bit down the stretch. They won a lot of close games when they started out 25-0. And when you win a lot of close games, it tends to even itself out. And I think Kansas is just the better team.
Looking at the 8-9, I find for a lot of people that, you know, you can look at the obvious numbers, and every now and then we'll pick and guess for an upset for a 5-12 for sure. But the 8-9 games a lot of times seem to be difficult. I look at a few, and Oklahoma State, to me, you know, as a 9 seed is ranked way too low. They should be better than that. And they're going up against Gonzaga, and Canadians still love the Zags. But who do you like in that one? And then Pittsburgh, Colorado. And I'm also, is it fair to say that, you know, Colorado, while they're technically the 8 seed, they should actually be the underdog in this game?
Yeah, I'll start with Oklahoma State, where I think, you know, maybe they deserve their seed based on their resume. They went through a really, really tough stretch toward the middle of the conference season in early February. Marcus Smart had his incident with a fan, got suspended, and so it's just not really gone according to plan, even though they went through non-conference play at 12-1. But that's a very, very talented team. It's definitely that's a team with top 10, maybe even top 5 talent. They haven't performed that way, but if, you know, Marcus Smart, Markel Brown, Brian Nash, it's a very, very talented team, and I think they'll beat Gonzaga, and I think they stand a very good chance of beating Arizona. And then you mentioned the Pitt-Colorado game. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Colorado, you know, they've stayed above water since losing Spencer Dinwiddie, their leading scorer, torn ACL in January, but Pittsburgh's just a flat-out better team, and Colorado has lost a bunch of games by double digits. All of Pitt's losses basically have been close to very, very good teams, you know, like Syracuse, North Carolina, Duke, Virginia. And, you know, Pitt is one of the best, most efficient offensive teams in the country, protects the ball well, and I think they hold a very, very clear, decisive advantage over Colorado.
What about Kentucky? You know, last year they didn't even get in the tournament, then they lost to, Robert Morris. Okay, yeah, right. And now they almost had that great comeback victory in the SEC title game against Florida. So should we think, wow, Kentucky's maybe back, or was that just a one-game good effort?
I think you could, in any given game, Kentucky could break out and have a monster performance. They are extremely talented, but, you know, Calipari's method of recruiting a bunch of one-and-dones, which it's hard to blame him for recruiting the best players, but it does create a situation where you have a bunch of freshmen and who have no previous, you know, have never played together before, are still developing. They're all 18, 19 years old, and it's a different style. And sometimes it'll work, like it did 2 years ago when they won the championship. But, you know, it hasn't all come together this year yet. But I still think it's a dangerous team. You know, they could lose to Kansas State in the first round, or they could go to the Elite Eight. I mean, you never know. I think they'll beat Kansas State. I think they're going to give Wichita State an interesting run. It's a really interesting matchup this weekend, potentially, between a young but extremely talented Kentucky team and a Wichita State team who is obviously talented but is also experienced, has been to the Final Four, have guys who have won at this stage. So I think Kentucky's always interesting to watch, but they're kind of a boom or bust team.
Talking NCAA March Madness, which officially gets going on Thursday on TSN. Matt Brown from Sports on Earth joins us. Matt, I know you like Wichita State as a number. You liked them last year, of course, as a number one. You like Oklahoma maybe as a number nine. Who is your pick from an 11 through 16 seed that could possibly make the Sweet 16, and why?
Well, I think a couple to watch are, I think Dayton is an interesting bet to beat Ohio State. They're in the first round as an 11 seed, and if they do that, then the next round they have Syracuse most likely, and I think Syracuse, again, is kind of vulnerable right now. It's not played very well lately. Definitely looks vulnerable, and Dayton's the type of three-point shooting team, can get hot, and you know, when you're looking for upsets, you try to look for one big factor always is a good three-point shooting team that may fail at that and get blown out, or they may succeed, and it's an easy way for upsets when you can hit outside shots. So I think they're in the mix for sure. Other than that, let's say that I also think in that bracket, actually a sleeper team is Tulsa. UCLA has kind of been an uneven team. They ended up winning the Pac-12 title, but I think Tulsa could give them a run. They've been a very, very weird team this year in that they were awful the first half of the season, but have not lost since February 6th and starting to find a rhythm. And I think UCLA is also the type of inconsistent, vulnerable team. And when Tulsa's next round would be against VCU or Stephen F. Austin, there's a chance for any of those teams there to kind of play Cinderella in kind of a weak spot of the bracket.
I was going to ask you about the number 12s. You got SF Austin taking on VCU. You've got number 12 seed North Dakota State taking on Oklahoma. Then you've got, the play-in game, Xavier and NC State. They'll take on St. Louis. And Harvard against Cincinnati. Any one of those? Because there's always seems to be a 12 upsetting someone. Which 12 is your best bet?
The best bet, I think Stephen F. Austin and Harvard both stand pretty good chances of winning. So does North Dakota State. I think all of them, they're all pretty good matches. But I think the biggest one would be St. Louis against either NC State or Xavier. St. Louis has tanked down the stretch here. They were 25-2. They've lost four of their last five. Lost to St. Bonaventure the first round of the A-10 tournament, which is a big surprise. And they're not particularly great offensively. I don't think they can score. And they're not great from the outside. They don't force many turnovers. So, you know, they can play defense, but I think NC State and Xavier are both the teams that can get hot offensively and give them a run. So I really wouldn't be surprised based on the trajectory of their season. And when you look at North Carolina State and Xavier, T.J. Warren from NC State, the leading scorer in the ACC, can score in a hurry. Xavier, Samaj Kristen can also do the same thing. So I think St. Louis is a pretty good bet to fall the first week.
Who are you picking? Who's your national champ?
I got Duke, which
Duke
kind of out of left field nationally. You know, a lot of.
Did you go to Duke?
I did not.
Okay.
I find I seem to be one of the only person who's been neutral toward Duke my entire life. I just think they have a high ceiling. They have some problems underneath, but they're an entertaining team to watch. And Jabari Parker, Rodney Hood.
Yeah.
It's if they put it all together and play as efficient as they're capable of on offense, they're capable of. They're great on the fast break. Great from the outside. Can score points in a hurry. They're in a tough region, but I see a Duke-Louisville matchup in the Midwest regional final that could end up deciding the national champion.
Well, I just watched the 30 for 30. I'd watched it about 3 years ago on NC State. It's one of my favorites. Got me right. I recommend that to anyone leading up to March Madness to watch that again. It's awesome.
Absolutely. I actually haven't seen that yet, but I've heard it's tremendous.
Oh,
so I have to get on that.
Matt, you got to watch it before, man. You'll be even more inspired to enjoy this tournament. It's great.
I will.
All right. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks.